Today, Carmela, we're going to learn about the wine Muscadet.
Ooh, we are? What is that?
Well, without giving too much away, it's a white wine from France, and some have called it the ultimate fish wine.
Ooh, right up my alley.
All right, should we do it?
Let's do it.
Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair. Okay, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, we learn about and we taste and we give our honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced, which means under $20 each, and should be easy for you to find. And our podcast is made for people who want to learn more about wine and find new wines to enjoy and just want someone to talk about wine in a fun way that regular people can understand. Mm. Is that so bad?
No, that's what we like.
Okay, so if that sounds like you, you're in the right place. Mm. And we're proud to say that we are recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent, chatty. Oh my god, fun, irreverent.
You took my line.
I know, fun, irreverent,
chatty,
and entertaining. God, I'm just trying to go fast, I went too fast. I even did my own, your line. Okay.
I don't know how that became my line.
I don't know.
It's my line.
It is the only line I give
you. It's not even a line. It's
no,
a word.
I know. Oof. Okay, Carmela, as you know, we're going to do a WTF episode today.
Ah.
And for those of you in listening land who have been listening for a while, you know that these episodes are all about trying new wine varietals or types. You can use the word types that are new to us. Hence the phrase, what the f*** is... And in this case, it's Muscadet.
Mm-hmm.
Muscadet. It looks like Muscadet. It looks like Muscadet, but it's Muscadet.
Nice.
And it was true up to about 5 days ago that we had not tried this wine, but it just so happens, and this doesn't happen very often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last Friday we were at your brother's house for a little party celebrating their daughter coming back from a trip, and they served a red wine and a white wine, and the white wine just happened to be
Muscadet.
And what did I say?
That
rhymes.
Oh, but you said we were going to talk about it, learn about it. You're going to be what the beep about it.
Yeah.
And I chose it when he gave me some options that night.
What are the odds?
Well, the other option was a Chardonnay. So.
Ooh, you knew that wasn't it. Yeah. So we'll take the Muscadet, whatever that is.
Right.
Okay, but just because we drank it doesn't mean we actually know anything about it.
True.
And despite the fact that we liked the wine, having it just one time or from one producer or whatever doesn't mean that you can truly judge whether or not it's a varietal that should make it into your repertoire, right?
Right, right. You don't get the whole full picture.
That's right. So today we are really, really going to explore this wine and see what we think.
Okay.
Now, you may not be familiar with Muscadet.
No, but how did you become familiar with it?
Well, I don't know. It just kind of snuck up on me.
How?
I don't know. It just did. But there's a good reason that
tapped on your shoulder?
Mm-hmm. It said, hey, Muscadet, look at me. Okay, anyway, I'm going to cut that because everybody's going to hate that. But again, there's a good reason why you might not be familiar with Muscadet. So although it is a wine that's been around for a long time, and I mean a long time, it was appreciated by the kings of France.
Wow.
By the 20th century, this wine had gotten a reputation for being kind of boring and not all that special.
Ooh,
kind of like me.
No,
kind of like me.
No, I find you very, very special.
Special. Okay.
You're so special.
I'm special.
I don't know if you want to be
compliments
special,
that are not compliments. Okay. So there was
because I didn't say interesting.
You did. That's true. That's true. So there was a decent period of time where the wine was just not really being imported much at all, and people were not really seeking it out.
Hmm.
Now, I should also say this. Muscadet should not be confused with Muscato, Muscat, or Muscatel, which are all wines that come from the Muscat grape and are generally but not always sweet wines.
Mm.
And so just in case you were wondering what the difference is between Moscato or Muscat or Muscatel, they're the same thing. They're just the names of the same wine in Italy, Moscato, France, Muscat, and Spain, Muscatel. But for now, all you need to know is that Muscadet is not Muscat or Moscato or Muscatel. All right? That's
okay.
All you need to know. That's all you need to know.
I'm glad to know it.
And just an editorial comment. Another editorial comment. Okay. We love doing these WTF episodes, and we love hearing from you out there in listening land. And
that
we
gives us some ideas about WTFs to do.
That's right.
Okay.
And we want to do content that you care about.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a wine you're curious about, or a producer you're curious about, or an area, like, let us know and we'll do it.
Right. Keeps us drinking.
Yes, absolutely. Keeps us drinking, which is important.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So now that we have that out of the way, we can get back to learning about what the F Muscadet is, and we have three different Muscadets to try and review, all of which come, as they should, from France. But first,
you got to do our shameless plug.
So that's right. So we want to thank you for listening to us and supporting our show. And if you haven't had a chance to do so yet, now would be a great time to subscribe to the podcast. We might say a bon time. It's a free way to support us. And then another great way to support us for free is to leave a nice rating and review. And you can do that on our website or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or all sorts of other places you can do that. And you can also follow us and see pictures of the wines that we're tasting and trying today on Instagram. And maybe some weird AI on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast.
WTF.
And you can contact us on, I can almost speak today. Wow. You can contact us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, and you can sign up for our email newsletter there.
Yes.
And as we do every week, we'll tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. Mm. And this week, we want you to tell anyone who loves fish and shellfish, because again, this wine is sometimes called the ultimate fish or ultimate seafood wine.
I cannot wait.
And it's also evidently a good wine to pair with tofu. Why did you laugh about that?
It's like, who pairs wine with tofu?
Oh my God, some people want to pair wine with tofu. The tofu lover
can go
in your
with
life.
Anything.
Oh, that is mean. Oh my That's God. Mean to tofu
I'm
people.
I'm sorry. Are there tofu people?
I don't know, but if you're a tofu person and you found that offensive,
wow.
Remember, Carmella said it. I didn't
be
say
a person.
It. Like, no, I didn't. Well, anyway, you can make people in the you can make tofu in the shape of
that's
a person.
That's what I'm
You can do it, and then
right
we can
now.
Be like, "Hi, look at our little person."
Boy, they would fall right apart.
They would. They would fall
and
apart.
And I hate to like you know you have to like
Squish
press
it.
The water
yeah.
out of it.
Yeah,
and,
there you
yeah,
go.
It'd be pretty sad.
All right, let's get back to the topic. Let's okay. learn a bit more about just what the Muscadet is.
Okay.
So here's something confusing. The grape that Muscadet, I said Muscadet, but it's Muscadet. Muscadet is made from the grape called Melon de Bourgogne.
Ooh,
and that be a grape.
Of...
Yeah, Melon of Bourgogne.
Okay.
It's Burgundy. Bourgogne is the French term for Burgundy. And that may be a grape you're not familiar with either.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Melon de Bourgogne is often just called Melon. And it's mostly grown in France.
Wow.
It's specifically in the Loire Valley.
I do like listening to you with all these little accents. Keep going.
But you can find it grown in the United States.
Okay, no,
I don't
no,
know.
No.
Mostly in Oregon and places right here in the good old state of Washington.
Woo!
However, by law, Carmella, by law, wine cannot be called Muscadet outside of France. So if it's made in the U.S., it's probably going to be called Melon.
Okay.
Which is melon. It looks like melon.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is that this grape is grown, and this wine is mostly made in the Loire Valley, but the name, Melon de Bourgogne, is, again, melon. It means melon from Burgundy.
Right.
Hmm. So what's that all about?
So confusing. I don't understand.
What's that all about?
I don't know. That's who we're going to call the wine gods?
Well, I'm here. You don't need the wine gods.
God.
I'm
wow,
here.
Wow, now he's a god, people. Just watch out.
I'm just one of many. I'm one of many.
Wow.
Okay. But I will say, this is a typical French wine. It's so confusing. Okay. So first, Melon de Bourgogne was grown in Burgundy until the 1700s when it was actually ordered to be destroyed.
Wow.
They ordered it to be destroyed mostly because the royalty in France had gotten tired of it and they felt that the wine that was made from Melon and Burgundy was subpar, especially compared to Chardonnay.
Yikes.
So there you go.
Ooh, I wonder if it's compared to Chardonnay, too.
Well, we're going to find out.
Okay.
They do oak it. So that is something that it is often oaked. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But now, in the same century that they ordered it to be destroyed.
Ordered. They did.
Oh, you must be destroyed. There was a mass.
How did they do it back then? Somebody just walked up to them, ordered them? Like, you know what I mean? You
can't, I don't know.
Like,
I mean, the kings would like.
Even at
no,
that
they'd
point.
Send some sort of herald out, Harold, some guy named Harold, and he'd be like, you must.
That's what I mean. Somebody had to travel.
Oh,
on
you must destroy your vines.
Okay. This is an order.
Can I get to the story?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just trying to like wrap my head around this.
Wrap it. Wrap it, babe. Okay. So in that same century, there was a massive frost in the Loire Valley and it ruined most of the vineyards.
Ah.
And so some monks from Burgundy evidently brought clippings of Melon to Loire where it was planted and it was able to handle the cooler weather. Or at least maybe it was monks.
Hmm. Because, I was going to say, the monk thing is throwing me off.
Well, the monks, you know, they made wine and beer. I don't know if you knew that,
okay.
But they did do that. So, but some other sources I looked at said it was Dutch traders who brought the grape to the Loire Valley.
Oh, so there's some confusion here.
Yeah,
different
but,
stories.
But going. Even better, some say that it was King Louis XIV who ordered the grape to be planted there.
Ah.
So whatever the reason was, and you can find a million different reasons.
I can't believe you can find this information.
Well, this is the problem, is you can find too much information because it's the interwebs and everything is
but
just...
from the 1700s, like who's,
I don't know.
Who's remembering that? Oh,
well,
remember
that's the problem.
In the 1700s when I was alive.
But that's the problem, is the memories are bad, right? Whatever. So whatever the reason...
I hope nobody's alive from the 1700s.
I hope not either. But I feel like with you keep cutting in, we're going to be talking
yeah,
for...
Yeah, well,
okay,
so, I need a script.
Okay. Okay, so whatever the reason, Carmela, Melon is grown in the Loire Valley and is made into the wine Muscadet.
Okay.
And Muscadet is made from 100% Melon grapes. And it's specifically from the area of Nantes in the Loire, and I don't know if I said that right, but it's a very cool area near the Atlantic Ocean. And there are actually four main growing regions for Muscadet in the Loire, but I'm not going to go into them, mostly because it would take a lot of time, and also because
and I
can't pronounce
asleep.
And I can't pronounce it. But I do have links to articles in our show notes, which Carmela just found out last week that we have show notes, even though I've said it every week. Those are on our website if you want to learn more.
I mean, show notes, that can mean a lot of different things.
It can, but
I guess
just,
this is a show.
And those are the
notes
that I use
the
to
show.
Talk. Right.
How come I never get the notes?
Because.
Except for after the fact, if I go on the website. Okay, keep going.
This is a lot. Okay. I do want you to know a few things, though, Carmela,
okay.
And to all of our friends out there in listening land. Mm-hmm. So first, Muscadet is very susceptible to the temperature of any growing season. So if the weather is too cool, the grape struggles to ripen, and the wines can be overly acidic without a ton of fruit on them.
Okay.
Okay. Another thing to know is that the most flavorful or complex of the Muscadet wines is made using the surly method, which is kind of what you are.
Surly.
Surly.
I get it.
A little
it.
Surly.
I can
it's
relate.
Yeah. Surlie. Mm-hmm. And it translates to on the lees. Uh-huh. Now, in this method, what winemakers do is they don't filter the wine, mm-hmm. but they let white wine, and they also do this with sparkling wines, they let it age on top of dead yeast and other gunk that occurs naturally when making wine,
awesome.
Other particles. Yeah. And so the lees sometimes gives, that's what the lees are. So the lees sometimes give wines a bit of a cloudy appearance, but they can also make them smooth or round or creamy in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And it can add a nutty or bready flavor. So when you get that kind of bready flavor in champagnes,
right.
that's where it comes from, or sparkling wines. And it can also help mellow out the oakiness of a wine if it is aged in oak,
nice.
Which a lot of these wines are.
Mm-hmm.
Because white wines in particular can get overpowered by oak. And by the way, I think that most American Chardonnays are overly
too
oaked.
Oaky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the surly method, not the surly method, which is you,
true.
But the surly
method. Let's make
sure method,
you just, you know, figure that one out.
That's right. It's important in Muscadet because, again, the wine can be a bit content.
Surly.
And it can be a little bit bland, like me.
Ah,
so just, and note that the normal AOC, the AOC is the designation of that they use in France, of Muscadet cannot use the term surly. If the wine is from one of those sub-appellations or other places, for instance, like Muscadet Sèvres-Man, which is the largest sub-appellation and where all of our wines are from today, they can use the term as long as the wine spends at least one full winter on the lees and is not bottled until after the third week in March.
Oh, Lord.
And we are almost at the third week in March.
Oh, my God, they're bottling it!
They might be. They can't do it until, like, next week.
My goodness!
And then the wine can also...
Timing is great here, honey.
I know it. And then the wine also should not be filtered before it's bottled.
Okay.
So this is a little bit confusing, but that's why you may want to pay attention to what exactly you are buying if you're going to purchase a Muscadet.
And people, there are show notes.
There are show notes.
Show notes.
Carmela's an expert on them now. She's like, why don't I...
A refresher on this.
Exactly.
Go straight to those show notes.
She wants to go back to previous episodes. Why did you give me this ahead of time? Okay,
right,
anyway.
Right.
You want to look for them calling out surly on the label... Or look for
surly.
Wines. Yeah, surly on the label. Again, S-U-R, it's two words, S-U-R-L-I-E.
Okay.
Or look for wines from Sèvres-Man. It looks like Sèvres, Maine, like
okay.
the state of Maine.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then as I mentioned earlier, winemakers in the region have been trying to make the wine more complex over the last several years. And one of the additional techniques is to age the wine in oak, as I mentioned. Mm. And then to create even more flavor, they sometimes stir the lees, you know.
Ooh, this is stir the lees. Very technical.
Yeah, yeah, but when they say, when they stir the lees, that technique is called batonnage. Batonnage. It looks like batonnage. Okay, batonnage.
My goodness.
And that means the lees are making more contact with
Who's
the juice.
Who's stirring that?
Some guy named Lee.
Or Harold.
Or Batten.
Okay.
Is stirring. I don't know. Some guy in the winery. Could be a lady
Can
in the
imagine?
Winery.
Yes, your job.
Hey.
Time to stir, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Stir the
Have
leaves.
You stirred the lees today?
Gee, get off your butt and stir the lees. You have one job.
Do you think that's like a...
You have one job.
Do you think that's like a big deal?
I think
like,
so.
Like, I'm the lee stirrer.
I stir
I
the lee. What do you do?
Stir the lee.
This is my lee stirring stick.
I know. You might taste it and go, oh my God, this was not stirred.
I'm going to make that your job. Okay. Anyway, another, so that we've killed that one. We're moving on from batonnage and stirring the lees. But also the wine is not supposed to be more than 12% alcohol. It's considered often to be a fresh and crisp wine. Mm. And there are those out there who call it the best French wine under $20.
Okay.
So that's perfect for our podcast.
Yeah, wow.
So on that note, I think it's time to learn more about the wines that we chose for this episode. What do you say?
Yes, please.
Okay, so as usual, all the wines we've chosen for this episode are under $20. Mm. And all of them should be relatively easy to find because I bought them all at wine.com.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. So you should be able to find Muscadet at any larger wine shop or store with a good wine wine section. And in particular, if the wine shop calls out wines from the Loire Valley in France or that has a good French white wine section, you're going to find it. Mm. Like, you're just going to find
it. I wonder where my brother got that Muscadet.
I don't, he could have gotten it just from Trader Joe's. Who knows?
I'm wondering if he purchased it, if somebody gave it to him as like a gift.
I bet it was a gift. I bet it was a gift. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm going to ask him.
Ask him.
Okay.
Okay. All of the wines today, Carmela, are also surly, like you.
Okay.
Excellent. And two of them have good ratings from professional reviewers.
Oh.
Okay. So the first wine. Oh, God. These names.
Let's hear it. Come on.
The first wine we're going to drink today is called Chirol Carré Château de la Chassenay Muscadet Sèvres-Adman.
Beautiful.
And that's a big... mouthful.
My God. Okay. Can you imagine? What wine are you serving tonight?
Oh, and God.
Spit it back?
It's no. Muscadet.
Right. Okay. That's too much.
Now, as you can hopefully tell from the name, it is from the specific appellation of Sèvres-Adman. Or Maine, whatever. And this is a pretty new wine. It's from the 2022 vintage.
Oh.
So it's a baby.
It's a baby for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, so according to the winemaker, the grapes are pneumatically pressed, which I guess is intended to keep the quality of the juice a little better. And the wine is aged on the lees, as I said. And they use the batonnage technique, that stirring technique. So they,
hey, buddy, stir the lees.
The guy.
So they
the
do.
Guy.
They got the guy.
Where is
they got
he?
The guy. And then, okay, so that's it. That's it. I was going to say something else, but that's it.
Then you finished it off.
There you go.
Excellent.
So the next wine we're going to drink today is called Château de la Regatoire. Muscadet sur la cuvée Amélie.
You just made that up.
I don't know. These are the real
names.
Is that
going to be on the show notes?
I don't know. I said it totally wrong. Regatoire. I don't know how to say it. It's from the 2020 vintage. I'd call this one Amélie. Amélie.
Is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm, because he called it Amélie.
Okay.
And the vintage.
You didn't make that up.
No. The vintage. The 2020 vintage wine enthusiast gave a 91 rating to it. So this should be good.
Okay.
Now, I have a couple of tech sheets for this wine in the show notes, but the winery says that they are organic. They use organic fertilizer and tillage. Tillage. Lots of new words today.
Wow,
so tillage.
Heck?
Now, tillage is a way of mechanically manipulating the soil to kill weeds. So basically, rather than using a bunch of fertilizers and stuff, they kind of turn the soil over.
Oh, somebody's out there, kind of like the guy that's stirring the leaves.
Put down the
Do you think...
And till the soil.
I was just saying, do you think that same person has that job too?
I hope not.
At the tiller?
I hope
and
they
the
don't use
the lee.
I hope they use a different tool.
The lees guy?
I hope they use a different tool.
Ooh.
Okay. The winery also says that they use 100% malolactic fermentation in vats at the start of winter.
Okay.
So malolactic fermentation is something we have talked about before. It's a secondary fermentation which converts malic acids into lactic acids. That's not what you need to know. What you need to know is it helps smooth out or mellow the wine.
Ooh.
And so they also age it on the lees for 14 months in underground vats.
That's a long
time, huh? It is for a white wine. Mm-hmm. That's a long time. So this wine gets a lot of aging, over a year of aging.
A lot of attention.
On on the, yes.
Stirring, stirred, tilled, tilling.
All that stuff.
Wow.
And there are several descriptions of this wine which use the term tangy.
Tangy.
Tangy. How would you say it?
How would you say it? I need to read
tangy.
It.
Tangy.
Tangy.
Would you say tangy or tangy?
I mean, what is it? See? Is it spelled T-A-N-G-Y?
Yeah.
Tangy.
Okay, there you go.
Wait, ooh, why did you say tangy?
I just wanted to bother you.
Oh, okay.
She's so surly today. Okay. And the last wine we are trying today is called Trois Versions Muscadet Sèvres et Montsurly.
But what so do they even call it?
I don't. They call it Surly. And it's from the 2021 vintage. So all of our wines are from different years. Oh, how about that? That's kind of fun.
Could be siblings.
Mm, siblings.
I don't know what I was trying to say.
So I loved visiting. I'm trying to change the subject. I loved visiting this website. I loved it. I wrote that. I loved visiting this website.
Of course you did. Only you would love visiting a website.
Well, this website felt very family run, like what? Very family run and operated. You can find a link to it in our show notes. And according to some information I found, the winemaker harvests the grapes by hands and ferments them in stainless steel tanks using only native yeast.
Oh, stainless steel tanks. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But after the wine is fermented, they keep the wine on the lees in an underground cellar throughout the winter, as they say, to maintain its freshness and acidity. Okay. They don't use malolactic fermentation. And so I've seen this wine called Zippy.
Ooh.
So we have a tangy and a zippy.
I love it.
I couldn't tell also if this one was oaked. So we're going to see if we can figure it out while we're tasting
tangy
it.
Tangy can be zippy.
Yes, it can.
Okay.
Now, evidently, the winemaker, whose name is Yves Bretonnier.
And that's with a Y.
Yves, yes. He's regarded as an up-and-coming winemaker. Mm. And they say his wines are showing up in some of the best restaurants in Paris.
Wow.
So there.
Good job, Yves.
And good job for me saying Paris and not Paris. Okay, so that's enough. That's enough background on Muscadet. I think it's time for us to start drinking, because otherwise, you're going to keep talking. So we're going to take a quick break.
Me.
So yes, so we can pour our first wine. That's right.
And
if you, oh gosh, and if you have a Muscadet on hand, then drink along with us.
Yeah, I'm sure you just have one on hand.
Maybe you do.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna take a break. Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our first wine. And this one,
here we go.
So you remember, Chereau Carré Château de la Chassenay Muscadet Sèvres et Man.
Come
I don't know
on.
If I said that right or not, but it sounded good.
I think it did.
It's from the Loire Valley of France. It's a 2022. It was only $11.99 at wine.com. 12% alcohol. The grape is Melon de Bourgogne. And Wilfred Wong from wine.com gave it a 90.
Nice.
So what are you smelling?
I'm getting just a lot of fruit.
A lot of fruit.
Yeah. I'm getting peach, apple, even like
pear.
Watermelon.
Well, watermelon too, huh?
Bit.
I'm getting pear. It's sweet.
Like, it does smell sweet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's nice. It's
maybe a little pineapple. I'm getting maybe a little
I
bit more
so
pineapple.
I think so too. Maybe the pineapple is actually.
But peach. I'm getting peach for sure.
Yeah.
Like a white peach or something, right? Like a light white peach.
That's nice.
There's almost maybe a little bit of dried apricot on it too, maybe? There's something almost a little tiny spicy, just a little bit of spiciness to it.
Yeah, like what are you thinking? Like a baking spice?
Yeah.
Like a clove or something, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
That's what I'm kind of getting. But there's just a little bit of a stone smell on it. But
it's nice. It's got a great smell. It's pretty in the glass. Okay, we're going to try it.
I can taste the oak on this one. I think
oh,
I can.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. It's got... I will say it's,
definitely.
It does have some mouthfeel to it, you know?
Yes.
Like, and it's got a little, it is tangy. Like it's got a little bit of, at the end, it's got a little bit of aftertaste.
It does. It kind of a little bit lingering, like not, doesn't clean off your tongue. It's not as, I don't know. It's pretty full bodied, I feel like, for a white wine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does have that oaky Chardonnay taste to it.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. It's peachy. It does have a peach kind of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to see what I'm getting on the back end. It's got a little bit of vanilla maybe and stone. It's stone, minerally, like chalky.
I can kind of get behind that chalky or dusty or something. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like there's a little bit of the aftertaste is sort of thick.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost getting almost an olive oil.
Oh, wow. Okay.
On the aftertaste.
Okay. It's kind of thick.
Like your hand.
Okay. Huh. What do you think, Kenny? What would you eat with this? Do you think it would be nice with seafood?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm. It dries off the... It's like it's dry, so like it but it does linger. It does have a lingering aftertaste, almost like a pith, a little bit of a pith aftertaste.
This isn't the tangy one, or
no, this isn't tangy or zippy.
It doesn't have that zip. It's not very acidic. It's not like our typical go-to white wine.
No,
I mean it tastes like a meal. It's pretty. It's like.
Pretty. I think if you're a Chardonnay, if you like Chardonnay, I think you might like this. I think you're going
to like this. In fact, I would think it'd be fun to give it to a Chardonnay lover.
Just have them try it and see what they think.
Like as a gift. Like, hey, I'm bringing over a bottle of this Muscadet.
That was the flavor that I was getting. Now I'm thinking about it. A little bit of almond.
Okay,
A little bit of almond
for sure,
on the
like
aftertaste.
Almost a fresh almond.
Yeah, on the aftertaste. Raw almond.
Yeah, I would think so too.
Okay, but food, yes, I do think seafood, I think it could handle spicy foods. I think it'd be good like with shellfish. I think it'd be good with shellfish.
Yeah.
I'm honestly, this is not my style of wine, but I'm not minding it so much.
No. I think this could be nice too with like a cheese board. You could do some funky cheeses with this.
Ooh, yeah. You could do funky cheeses.
Yeah, yeah.
A brie.
Well, brie's not terribly funky. But
you could do, I think you could do kind of like stinky cheese with it.
Yes. That'd be really good. Like a gorgonzola even, something really rich, you know, with a nice baguette, crusty baguette. Mm. Feeling very French.
Very French.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good. Mm-hmm. Okay, but we're going to rate this wine. So as a reminder on our rating scale, we rate on a scale of 1 to 10, where 7 and above means that we'd buy it, and a 4 or below means that we'd pour it down the sink, and a 5 or a 6 means we'll drink it, we'll probably finish it, but we're not going to buy it.
Right.
And so what would you give this wine, Carmelita?
I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
I feel like that's I would buy it, and like I said, I would definitely gift it to somebody, like a Chardonnay person. It's nice. Yeah. What are you going to give it?
I'm going to start off with a 6.
Okay.
I like it enough that I would drink it. I'm not positive I would buy it. I kind of want to try the other ones first.
Okay.
And I reserve the right to come back and change my rating. This is a good wine. It's a very drinkable wine.
Solid.
And I think, again, like not totally our style, but you know, like if you like an oaky Chardonnay, you might like this wine.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so we're going to take a break and we're going to try our next wine. Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our next wine. This is the Château de la Régatier Muscadet sur le Cuvée Amélie. This is also from Loire, France, as they all are. This is a 2020. $14.99 at wine.com, 12% alcohol. Made from 100% Melon de Bourgogne, and James Sucky, I Suck Suckling, gave it a 91, but Wine Enthusiast also gave it a 91. Mm. What are you smelling on this one? Mm.
So, right away, I was kind of getting a perfume scent, but now it's a little more subtle. It kind of blew me, or I had a good whiff, and now I've been kind of letting it, I've been swirling it a bit, and I'm getting some orange on it.
Oh, really?
A little bit of citrus.
So I thought that's really interesting. I can get that. I can get with that. But I'm feeling like it smells very similar to the last one. I'm getting apricot and pear.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like it's a little different, a little more subtle.
It doesn't have as strong of a scent.
Right. But I'm
cold. It's pretty cold. Okay, yeah. So that may impact it a little bit,
Sure. I bet for sure. Even the taste, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Are you tasting it? Oh, I thought you were going in for the taste.
Maybe there is some citrus on this one. The last one didn't have a lot of citrus. I'm getting a little spice again. Like a little spiciness.
Yeah, I would say so.
Hmm. And maybe...
Anything in particular? Like, I'm still getting kind of that orange, even like zest.
Okay.
Orange zest, sorry.
No, you're good. I'm getting a little vanilla.
Okay.
I feel like I'm getting vanilla.
Okay. Okay.
You know, like vanilla can be a little spicy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, let's try it.
Okay.
Tangy. I can get the tang on this
tangy.
One.
Tangy.
It's really citrusy at the end.
It is, but I'm kind of getting that, I'm kind of getting that spice on the taste.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of nutmeg or cloves.
Yeah.
A little bit spicy in the taste. Maybe that's the tang they talk about.
I think the tang is in the fruit.
Mm.
It's got a little bit more, it's got some peach to it, but I kind of feel like it's a little bit more of an apple or a crisp pear or like one of those.
Like a Granny Smith, though.
Oh, I was thinking more of one of those Asian pears.
Oh, okay.
Real crispy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
like and kind of tart a little bit, but you're getting the tartness out of it.
I am. I'm getting some tart. I'm still getting that some of that citrus too in the taste. A little bit of a bite.
It's more citrusy than the last one for sure.
It, don't you think, has a is a bit of a bite? It's a little more
almost
like
grapefruity.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. A little bit, which can sometimes give you a little bit of that kick or spice.
For sure.
The grapefruit, I think, again, too, sometimes you get that pithy taste or that zesty taste from it.
But I'm getting lemon. Lemon. This one.
Okay.
Well, citrus. We've been saying citrus.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting more orange citrus, but lemon, too. I mean, it's...
I'm getting more of like lemon. What's that plant? That lemon plant? You know, because it's kind of got a lot of vegetal... You know, it tastes like a lemon. Lemon verbena.
Oh, verbena, right.
You know?
Verbena.
A little bit of that.
You think like, it's verbena or verbena?
I don't know.
I don't either.
What food would you eat with this verbena?
I think this would be nice.
Amelie.
With Amelie and me. I think it would be nice with seafood. I can even see like a seafood like risotto or something.
A good call.
Don't you think that would be real? This is kind of a nice wine. Like I feel
it's
like nice.
It's nicer than the last wine. It's smoother. I bet it's oaked, but it doesn't have as much oaky flavor to it.
No, I think there's enough of that tang that it balances out the oak, which we like. We like that bit of acidity. I think that there's more of it. This is more our style.
Because it's got fruitiness to it.
Right. Yeah. But it's also kind of has a fresh taste to it.
And acidity. It doesn't like linger too much. It's nice.
What would you have with it?
I like the risotto. I think the risotto is a really good call.
A shrimp risotto. Mm-hmm. I mean, any type. I'm thinking like a shellfish risotto would be really nice.
But I think like grilled shrimp or like any kind of shrimp, like I love shrimp anyway, but like any kind of shrimp would be really good. I could see this with spicy foods, fish tacos. I think it'd be really nice. Fish and chips.
Fish and chips would be great. Yeah. Or just even a nice like filet of fish. Like
a filet of fish from McDonald's.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying like a flaky fish.
Yeah. Fish fillet. Nice.
Fish fillet.
Rather than a fillet of fish.
Yeah, right. Yeah, nice. So what would you rate this?
I like this. I'm definitely giving this one a 7. Okay. I'm definitely giving this one a 7. I would buy it. And I think this is a good party wine.
I think this is a good crowd pleaser. You know, I'm going to stick with a 7. Okay. I know I gave the other one a 7, and I might be a little more partial to this one. But I'm going to just stay where I'm at.
They're both very drinkable.
I'm feeling
a little bad for not giving the first one a 7. But I do like this one better.
Well, that's the thing, is I'm kind of like, maybe I should, but I still feel like the other one is a good option to.
It's drinkable.
Yeah, and also sure. Just to kind of, to give, if you're having somebody over who loves a Chardonnay, but you'd like them to try something else.
You might say no good Chardonnay, Muscadet.
Duh.
There you go.
Love it.
All right, on that, we're going to take a break and we're going to try our last wine.
Okay.
Okay, we are back, and we are ready to try our last wine. This is the Trois Versants Muscadet Sèvres et Mont-le-Surlis.
And my goodness.
I'll just say right off the bat, first of all, it's a screw cap, which we love.
The ease of a screw cap.
It's beautiful. And the other thing is it's a different kind of bottle. It's a Riesling or an Alsace kind of bottle. So it's tall and thin bottle, but it's in very pretty, like kind of elegant. The wine is very light, too. I think it's the lightest of the three.
For sure.
This one's also from Loire, France. It's a 2021. It was $16.99 at wine.com. Also 12% alcohol, because that's what they're supposed to be. And 100% Melon de Bourgogne, and no ratings as far as I could tell. But what are you smelling, Melon?
Whoa. So I'm kind of getting some similar smells, but more of a little bit more of like a brioche on it, a little bit more of bread.
More of the lees.
Yes, exactly. So
I think that's right.
Yeah. Are you getting that a little bit?
And a little nuttiness. I feel like I'm getting some nuttiness on this one.
Okay.
But I'm also getting lemony or citrus. There's some sort of citrus peel, like a lemon peel maybe. And there's a little bit of that peach, but it's not quite as strong. And I'm really not getting as much. The first one I was getting like pear and apple, and the last one I was getting some of that like in the taste. This one I'm not getting quite as much, I don't think.
No, but I am getting a little bit of perfume on this one too, for some reason.
Flowers or just perfume?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit perfumey for some reason. I don't know why.
And when I swirl it, I'm getting a little bit of spice again, like cinnamony kind of spice.
It's nice. They all have had nice bouquets. Very pleasant.
Very pleasant.
Yeah.
All right, let's try it.
Okay. Ooh, this is the zippy one.
Yeah.
It's similar. Zippy.
It's similar to the last one, but it is super like, it's racy. It's like acidic and blam. It's like.
It's citrusy and it's not oaky. This one had no oak on it, did it?
I don't think so. On the back, I'm getting seawater.
Oh, interesting.
Like
yeah.
I'm getting like a seashell or seawater.
It's a little salty.
But also that smell of the sea.
Ah.
Like I got that taste at the end of it.
Okay, okay. I almost feel like, yeah, it's a little bit salty though too.
Yeah.
Like seawater.
Not seawater salty.
But yeah.
That, you know, there's that little bit of a smell with it. Like I was getting that in the taste.
Ooh, interesting. That's not really common for us to taste that.
And it's lemony, citrusy, some bitterness on it. It's good. I like it.
It's not very sweet at all.
On the aftertaste tastes like seawater to me.
Yeah. But it's kind of interesting. There's really not a lot of fruit on it. I mean, it's not. I'm not getting apple, pear, peach, any of those pineapple.
No.
Compared to the first
one. It's not as
one,
deep. It doesn't have as much depth.
Yeah, no.
And the body, not as much body. Even though this is a Sir Lee, it's not as much body as the other two.
I think this would be a good food wine, though. Like, in some ways, I'm sort of longing for a little more fruit in it.
Because
it's like you taste, you smell it, and you are thinking there's going to be a little fruit. So I'm, but I think this would be nice with food because it's so, has that real punchy, acidic taste.
You know what it feels like to me?
What?
It's a summer wine. You're outside, we're grilling clams, or your brother's shucking oysters, or something. Like, it feels
summer
like
wine.
Summer, but outdoor and seafood. Like, we're eating seafood. We're having shrimp, or we're having whatever.
Right,
like,
right.
It feels like you're outside on a beautiful, hot summer day. You have this wine. It's real.
At the beach.
At the beach. That's what it feels like to me.
It's a nice wine. And I could see some fresh. I mean, I could even see, like you said, clams. I could see even like steamed mussels and clams, too.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Shellfish would be really nice on. Even the baked clams that we do would be nice. And a lot of these are like, it's funny, they're kind of things we have at Christmas, but they're so summer
super
dishes.
Summer.
Yeah.
And this would be good for like Feast of the Seven Fishes, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of feeling like a little bit, these wines have a little bit of sophistication to them. Don't you
think? I think so, yeah.
All three of them are a little bit like, they got something going on.
I think so. I think that, yeah, I think they are huge crowd pleasers too. I don't think anybody would turn their nose up at any of them. This one maybe is a little bit less for a Chardonnay person.
I think so.
Different in that sense. Like it, but I think I think it would go well at a party.
I agree. What rating would you give this wine?
So you know what? It's so funny. I'm kind of going 7 across the board.
I am
too. Yeah.
I would buy this one. I like this one. None of them are like knocking my socks fully off, but this is a great wine to buy. Like it's good. It's different. And I think it's fun to try something a little bit different and have, you know.
Yeah. And it's just such a crowd pleaser. Again, like everybody's going to like these wines. It would be hard to choose. They have enough of a different personality, though.
Like
that would
me.
Be like, you're so versatile.
So which of them would you finish?
You know, I think I'm going to go with the second one.
Okay. The
Amelie. What is it?
Amelie.
I think I will go with that one. What about you?
I think I'm going to go with this one. I think I'm going to go with the Trois de Saint.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
But I could go with either of them. Actually, any of them would be fine. If somebody served these to me, I'd be perfectly happy.
I would be delighted.
Yes, I agree. And what's your take on Muscadet?
I'm down with
Muscadet. I'm
down
too.
For sure.
Totally down. Totally down.
I think this is something we should invest a little bit in.
Yeah, I don't think it's not what we would usually have as an everyday wine,
no. But
it's a great option.
Yeah, but this would be like if we had it, like I said, if I'm looking at a couple of different options, I would say, hey, let's have a Muscadet.
I agree. Let's have a today. Let's have a Muscadet.
Love it.
Okay. So let's do the taste profiles expected from a Muscadet.
Okay.
Wine Folly says lime, lemon, green pear, green apple, seashell.
Okay.
There you go.
Wow.
The Chereau Carré Château de la Chaleur Muscadet. C'est vrai.
Wow. Nah.
The winery says bright, vibrant aromas reminiscent of crushed oyster shells.
Wow.
Bone dry, light bodied on the palate. The wine reveals plenty of apple and pear fruit with minerally citrus notes and high acidity complemented by briny notes. I didn't get as much briny in that one.
I didn't either.
Wilfred Wong said this shows aromas and flavors of candied pears. I think we're getting pear.
For sure.
Yeah. The second one, the Chateau de la Ragataie, Muscadet sur les Cuvées Amalie. The winery says this soft, rounded wine is smooth with creamed apple flavors. A tight and tangy edge makes the wine refreshing now and also allowing it to age. James Suckey said a rounder, soft Muscadet with apricots, mango stones, lemon pie, shortbread, and nougat on the nose. Medium bodied with a creamy, leasy, and textured palate. Pastry and almond notes to close.
Okay.
I said
nice.
Almond.
You did.
And wine enthusiast said a ripe and creamy textured wine. We definitely were feeling this had more body.
Yes.
This has density from the lees aging that balances acidity and lemon flavors. There's a touch of pepper. So we did
a little bit of spice.
Yeah.
Could be interpreted as pepper.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then the last one I couldn't get, there weren't a lot of reviews for it. So this just comes from the winery. This is the Trois Versants Muscadet. Crisp, lively, and generous citrus, along with mineral flavors and a bouquet reminiscent of the sea.
Ooh, no way.
Totally.
Oh, that's my what it gosh. Says. Nice job.
That one, I think we nailed. The winery got it right.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't get it right. No. I think they told, because we were getting a lot of citrus.
We always get it right.
We
so
do.
So if we get it right, then that's what we want to
that's
hear.
What we want.
Yeah.
But we were getting a lot of citrus and then that sea flavor.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Amazing.
Seashells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting for sure.
All right. Well, Carmela, on that note, it's just about time for us to go. But before we do, we want to thank you for listening to us. And by the way, if you haven't done so, you could subscribe to the podcast. We'd really appreciate that. Leave us a nice rating review. We'd appreciate that. We'd also love to hear from you. We do. We love to hear from you. So you can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. You can go to our website and leave a message for us or send us a contact note at thewinepairpodcast.com. And with that, we're going to sign off and we're going to say thank you again and we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is a short, so stop a drinking the shitty wine. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Ciao.
Too much. I always drink too much. I always drink too much. And when I'm with you too much.